We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians verse 18 through 31. Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish and wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach God crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, a foolishness to the Gentiles. But those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than a man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than a man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish ways of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast about him. It is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Pam Weddle and Janice White, in memory of loved ones. Our sermon this morning is called Different by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Thank you, Judy. The Word of God for the people of God. This service has been designed to point us towards the central message of the gospel, and that is that salvation comes through the cross of Jesus Christ. Our salvation, our redemption, comes through the cross. Anymore, the symbol of the cross is nothing more than a symbol of religion or a piece of jewelry. And that's sad. I don't know about you, but when I see a cross, especially around Easter time, it touches my spirit deeply. For I know that my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer so loved me that he stayed upon that cross. Because he could have called on a legion of angels to free him from that cross. But he so loved us and wanted to see us sanctified, made right, made holy, being able to stand in front of a good and holy God, that he endured the most cruel torture that there is. The Christian faith is supposed to make a difference. And we as Christians are supposed to be different. Otherwise, why would holding to this faith mean anything whatsoever? We're not supposed to be like the world. We are supposed to point people to the cross of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to love when others are unlovable. We are supposed to forgive when it's difficult to forgive. We are not to judge others, to accept them as they are, to love them, to walk with them, and lead them closer to Jesus Christ. In so doing, they see something that they desperately need and want, and that is Jesus. We have a risen Savior. There is no other religion, no other spiritual walk, no other circumstances in this life that can say that their leader, their beloved, died for them and died a cruel and messy and horrible death, and that he rose to life again. We indeed have something to boast about. Anymore, Christians are afraid to show their faith. We're afraid that we might offend somebody. Oh my. We're afraid that we will be politically incorrect. So we try to adapt ourselves to the world. Well, beloved, that's not what the Word of God calls us to do. We are called to point people to something that will really make a difference in their life. And harder still, we are called to live that difference out. Paul said he came to preach the message of the cross and to preach it so that its power will come through and give life to others. Do you remember what the cross is really all about? It's not just a pretty piece of jewelry. It was an instrument of torture and death that our Lord chose. Our God, our Father, so demonstrated his love to us that he sacrificed his one and only Son. And the meaning of that keeps unfolding in each and every one of our lives. Sometimes we are closer to him than others. Paul said the message of the cross sounded like foolishness to most people, that it was a stumbling block for the Jews. And the Greeks thought it was just plain foolish. I believe that the people who do not know Jesus Christ today find that message just as foolish. The same thing is true for us today, that if we really take seriously the most essential aspects of our faith, won't most people think we're a little off? Think we're a little different? And that's not a bad thing. When we can be hurt badly and still forgive that person and offer them up to God, we are showing those who are watching us that we have accepted Christ, and that we are trying to live the way that he showed us to live. Taking God seriously puts us at odds with the world right off the bat. Then there's all this talk about God who loves us and demonstrated that love at a very costly commitment to himself. Most people look at that and all they hear is some foreign language, something that doesn't make sense to them, something that seems impossible to live out. Well, beloved, our Lord, would not have allowed it to be written in the holy sacred scriptures if we could not live it out. Now, we can't live it out on our own. We have to cling to Him. We have to ask Him for His help. And our culture has had a hard time understanding what the message of the cross is and what it says about God the Father and about all of reality. You see, as Christians, our reality is different from most of our culture. The message of the cross calls us to live trustingly. This world tells us not to trust, or to trust very few people, if any at all. And so many businesses and institutions have let us down that it is difficult to trust. But our trust is not so much in one another. It is not so much in those businesses and institutions, or even in the church herself. Our trust is in God. And when we put that trust in God, He will help us to get through any circumstances that we come across. The message of the cross tells us to live lovingly, not to repay what others have done to us, but to love anyway. And the message of the cross tells us to live a commitment to something much bigger than ourselves. It tells us to take up our own cross, our own burdens, our own aches, our own pains, our own inward struggles, to pick up those things which weigh us down and hurt us, and to continue on living the way our Lord instructed us to be. I love our closing song, "Lord, I lift your name on high." You came from heaven to earth to show us the way, to show us how to live with one another. On the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. He came to show us how to live with one another. That's something that I think we often forget. We know that He died upon the cross to take our sins upon Himself. We know that He gave us that salvation. But do we really read the Bible as if we are expected to live that way? I love our Sunday school class right now. And it just so happened that this, which I planned several months ago as this message, before even reading through the Sunday school class, is entitled "In Christ Alone." And this message, just like the class, is teaching us to love even when there are differences, teaching us to always look towards Christ Jesus. In his day, Paul said the message of the cross was foolishness to those who are perishing. We can see that in our day too. The message of the cross is foolishness to most people. But that is because a lot of people are perishing. Who is perishing? What are we talking about? Those who live in accordance to the wisdom of this world. And the wisdom of this world tells us to grab everything we can for ourselves, no matter how we go about getting it, no matter who we step on to get there, no matter who we turn our backs on, no matter how we treat others. This world tells us to go for everything that we can possibly get, and to avoid suffering at all cost. There was a certain young man who went into a highly competitive field. He went into commercial real estate because he really admired all of the wealth that those people in commercial real estate had. And he began living as the world lives. He wanted so desperately to have the big car, to have the big house, to have all the prestige. And then he started realizing that none of his colleagues seemed really happy. Their lives were extremely stressed out, and not a one of them had a happy family life. Well, he took note. He took warning, and he changed vocations just like that. He told his mom, "It is better that I live doing something that I feel good about than trying to consume all I can possibly get." What is really going on in the lives of those who live as if God has abandoned the world? Those who live defensively, those who cannot trust, those who cannot love. Their lives are empty, and the only thing that they are committed to is selfish little goals. And what is it that they are getting out of the world? Are the structures of community life and public morality and business life and national life really healthy? Or are they beginning to fall apart and we're watching it? Think about that one. Public morality is indeed falling apart. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is pure power. It is the power of God. It strengthens us, and it allows us to live as he would have us to live. What does it mean? The message of the cross is the power of God for those being saved. It means that it can lead us into a saving relationship with God that can make our life actually work. In this day and age, look around you. Lives are falling apart. A lot of them have nothing to do with what they have or have not done. Look at the medical society. It is struggling. Insurance keeps going up. Look at our welfare system. It is crumbling. It can no longer sustain the burden that society has put upon it. When we look at this world and we see it coming down upon us, the only thing that we can do is turn to our Lord in repentance and ask him to save us, to teach us how to live amidst this struggle. Have you ever experienced a real deep trust? Have you experienced being deeply loved and cherished by someone else? So many people in our world have not experienced either. Wouldn't it be great if everybody in life really understood the message of the cross, the love that God the Father had for us? Do you know anyone who seems to be living out that kind of life, knowing that they are loved? I know a whole lot of you sitting here. They know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are loved by our Lord, and it shows in their life. No, we're not perfect. We're saved, but we're not perfect, and we still have struggles. We still have doubts. We still have fears. But we trust and cling to our Lord to care for us. And when push comes to shove, we know that no matter what happens, we will live out eternity with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When Paul said that the message of the cross is the power of God for salvation, he was saying that God acted in Jesus Christ to show us a better way of life. and to put us in touch with one who can help us actually be able to live that out. It is interesting that he spoke of those who are being saved rather than those who have been saved. You see, in Paul's day, they believed they were in the process of being saved. I believe that we are in the process of being sanctified, of being set apart. When we are lured into relationship with Jesus Christ and we admit that we are sinners and that we need his loving grace and his forgiveness, we are justified. And then we spend the rest of our time until eternity being sanctified, being set apart, being made holy, going through all the difficulties and struggles in life. I struggle with that verse that says, no matter what you're going through, let it all be joy. No matter how many trials that you're having, count it all joy, because you are being made to perfection in Christ. But now, it requires a decision of each and every one of us, and that decision is not easily made. It requires a commitment of us, and it can be a costly commitment. Are you willing to give up the things of this world, or at least to say that they are lesser than what you find in our God? Are you willing to leave old familiar ways of living and really be different? You need not act superior to anyone else. We need not act offensively. But we do need to be willing to make a deep difference in this world. When people look at us, they should see something different. They should see what Christ can do in our life, how he gets us through the trials, how he helps us to forgive, how he teaches us to love and to live with others. And then we have to become willing to invite others to live this type of life. Are you willing to work and to make the world a different place? If you will, you can become an agent of change and hope for our world. A certain man, we'll call him Bill, went to one of those business gatherings where you meet great people and make lots of financial connections. He ran into an old high school friend. And that old high school friend spent a couple hours talking to them. And they made an appointment to get together later in the month. When the day of the appointment came, Bill got into his private jet and flew to another state to meet with his friend. And oddly enough, his friend had gleaned something about his life. You see, Bill's life was falling apart. His marriage was in shambles. He was about to be fired. Everything in his world was falling apart. After he landed the plane, his friend picked him up and took him to a local bank. And Bill thought, okay, this is great. This is what I was expecting. Ways to make money. And they went into a room at the bank. And there were two other men there. And then his friend started to pour his heart out. When I talked to you earlier this month, I could see that you were making some of the same mistakes that I have made in my life. That your life was falling apart, that there was no satisfaction, and that there was no joy. And I committed right then to telling you about the joy and satisfaction I found in Christ. The other two men in the room witnessed to how their life had been falling apart and how it changed. And he fell to his knees and he prayed with them. The first three men were able to continue to live their life out, and the transformation took place in them without having to change their circumstances. Their marriages stayed intact. Their place of employment stayed the same. It wasn't the same for Bill. He hit rock bottom. He lost everything. He lost his marriage, he lost his job, he lost his house, he lost his car. But he gained something that none of us can replace in any other way. He gained a deep satisfaction and a deep joy in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And the man ended up becoming a Christian missionary. And he says that he has never been happier than when he's telling people about Christ. In the months that followed that meeting, everything changed for Bill. Those three men continued to share their faith, and they continued to stand alongside of him and to walk with him. His old life was gone, and in its place was a life truly shaped by the gospel. A life that brought him deep satisfaction. Bill said he'd never been happier, that he was a different person, and that he was glad he was a different person. I don't know about you, but when I came to the Lord, my life was a complete and total mess. And I know a lot of you think that you don't have a testimony if you came to Christ when you were young. But you do have a testimony. You have a testimony of being sustained throughout your life, of being refined throughout your life, of learning to really live out the principles of the Christian faith. I don't know about you, but to me there is nothing more satisfying than to know that I am living the way my Lord called me to live. I can't do it by myself. I have to do it through Him. I love the fact that this particular message, planned months ago, goes exactly along with the scripture and the Sunday school passage stating in Christ alone. In Christ alone can we find true peace, true happiness, and true satisfaction.
Fiercest droughts and storms.